You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The ICE raids that spark protest in Los Angeles are reverberating in immigrant communities across the state. And that includes Sacramento, which has long been ranked as one of the most diverse cities in the country. The raids are ongoing, and that is disrupting daily routines, from going to school, work, or just leaving their homes. This time of heightened confusion and rumors create an environment ripe for misinformation. CAP Radio Communities reporter Gerardo Zavala spent time with those navigating this uncertainty and fear in real time and joins us with those conversations. Hey, Gerardo.
Hey, Vicky.
So your reporting is quite timely, given that just a few moments ago we had reporter Greg Nicek on our show from CAP Radio talking about what appeared to be the detention of someone in immigration court by ICE. And these concerns of what's been unfolding have been reverberating across the state. How did you approach your reporting for this issue?
Yeah, just touching on that, that was definitely surreal hearing that update from Greg. But yeah, being the son of immigrants, you know, I grew up very close to a lot of undocumented people, relatives, friends, and I figured similarly up here, right, that would be the case. And yeah, I mean, it's difficult to speak to undocumented immigrants, so I spoke to people connected to them. And it was, you know, it was a lot to hear some of their reactions, right? Because it hits close to home. There's a lot of fear that's always been there, and hearing it, you know, just be that much more palpable with what's actually being seen now, even here. It's, yeah, it was an interesting experience.
And these raids have been ongoing. There are still some protests and demonstrations taking place. Of course, a legal fight between Governor Newsom and the Trump administration over the deployment of troops to Los Angeles. This is all unfolded within the span of a week. How are people here in our area feeling?
So from what I've heard, it's a lot of fear, a lot of hesitation to leave their homes. People are just trying to, you know, stay in as much as possible. And it doesn't help either that there are a lot of fake rumors going on about this. You know, there's a lot of people who see something and really won't go to the grocery store, you know, go somewhere they really need to be. And that's only made it worse.
Yeah. And we also heard that from Opening Doors. That's a refugee resettlement agency. And this was specifically in response to the Trump administration, I guess, removing the temporary protected status for Afghan refugees. And when talking to advocates in that area, saying that, you know, some are not going to school, it's disrupting their daily routines, they're afraid to leave their homes because there's a lot of uncertainty. And that's really ripe for confusion, which opens itself up to misinformation and disinformation. So you did speak with a local street vendor, Edward Carrillo. How has the news of what's unfolded this past week affected him?
Yeah, so Edward was actually born here, so he's a U.S. citizen. But his parents were undocumented for much of his childhood. And, you know, he told me he has a lot of vivid memories of translating for his parents and helping them study for their citizenship exams when he was just a kid.
I've had times where my dad was also, you know, at work and I showed up and he was able to, you know, leave those situations safely. Yeah, it's just kind of scary. Just like my heart goes out to everyone in LA right now.
And his parents are citizens now, but he still does have many undocumented friends in town. And he says they're all scared to go out just for the reasons we mentioned before.
You mentioned that this fear has existed before, different levels, different reasons. But given what has happened this week, the scale of it, did that come as a surprise to people that you spoke with?
Yes, definitely. One person I spoke to, her name is Elise Doyle Martinez. She's a Woodland-based advisor for Brown Issues, which is a Latino youth leadership development organization. And she told me, like, although we haven't seen raids at this scale up here, you know, she thinks we should prepare for that to happen soon.
We also had Mayor McCarty on our show about 20 minutes ago, and we ended the conversation talking about what has been unfolding in Los Angeles and mentioning that Sacramento is a sanctuary city and what that means. It is a self-designation. Does this designation come with any significant protections for immigrants?
Yeah, and I did listen to what he said, and I think what he said is definitely true. A lot of it is symbolic, and it really just means that the city won't work with ICE, they won't help ICE, but it doesn't say anything about preventing them, from coming in and doing any raids. Elise is also an art teacher, and she told me her school has procedures set in place. If federal agents show up, they need to have a warrant with names. They can't freely roam the campus, but she's worried that's not enough.
But on one hand, if they do have all that documentation, they can do what they want. They can go into those classrooms and they can remove whoever they need to. And we can't do anything about that. And for two, I mean, we're seeing that that doesn't matter either way. They're kind of doing whatever they want with no regard for the law because there are no repercussions at this point.
Yeah, and Mayor McCarty mentioned that although Sacramento is a sanctuary city, I mean, there is ICE in our area, and they are federal authorities, and they do have jurisdiction, and so they can't get in the way with those actions. When you were talking to people about this who are concerned about this, did they have any specific asks or requests from people in position of power, elected officials?
Yes, so at least she thinks they've already done everything they can by just saying that they won't work with ICE or call ICE. She thinks anything beyond that won't be true. But Edward did call on elected officials and the community to find ways to make undocumented immigrants feel safe.
It would be nice to kind of hear from our officials to hear what their plans are as far as, what we can do collectively to support those out in the community that may feel targeted because of what's going on right now.
And you also mentioned there's a lot of misinformation out there, so that means there's a lot of confusion, a lot of fear. How are organizations and people in the community getting the word out, getting accurate information out?
Right. So social media, even though it does spread a lot of misinformation, that is a way for people to connect still and at least spread some awareness on what's going on in the community. Networks among friends and families are also very common, and rapid response hotlines are, probably the best option. Elise, for example, she's in a group text chain with other Brown Issues advisors across the state, and they share info there on alleged ICE activity going on around them.
You also spoke with the local mutual aid organization, NorCal Resists, and that helps asylum seekers, refugees, and other immigrants. What are they tracking at this time? What are they telling you?
Yeah, so I spoke with a volunteer with the organization. Her name is Giselle Garcia, and I asked her how many calls their rapid response hotline has received, and she told me just between Monday and Wednesday, so just a few days, they had gotten over 200 calls.
Our team is running around like chickens without heads all over, not just Sacramento County, because we have a lot of counties, but north, north of Chico, and then all the way to east towards Nevada City.
And she said a lot of these reports, have just been private security guards or local law enforcement.
You talked about false ICE rumors. What issues have there been when it comes to misinformation out there? I mean, what would you like to dispel and, I guess, kind of capture about the difficulty to get accurate information out there?
Yeah, it is extremely difficult. And Giselle did say, have something to say about that. She thinks it's been devastating for the community, actually. I mean, we saw this happen as well a few months back, I think in February. I wrote a story then also about, how it was impacting businesses. La Superior was empty one Wednesday for almost the entire day. And then they found out it's because of all these reports that were going on online, right? And they've been getting a lot of calls, NorCal Resist, from people saying they're too scared to leave their homes and just live their lives.
I don't want to use too strong of words, but it is cruel. And it is creating a sense of panic that families are calling and saying, I'm too scared to drop my daughter off at school. I'm too scared to go to work. I'm too scared to go to the grocery store. I don't want to go to my doctor's appointment. And I'm definitely scared now to do my ICE check-ins or go to my hearings.
And I would imagine this type of disruption, it's not a light switch. It doesn't just go away if things were just to hypothetically absolve themselves.
Mm, definitely not.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio Communities reporter Gerardo Zavala about how people in the Sacramento area are responding to ongoing ice sweeps in Los Angeles. Okay, so have there been any similar raids in the Sacramento area, to your knowledge?
Not any local raids similar to what's happening in LA. They haven't been confirmed recently, at least from my conversation with NorCal Resist.
And as we led this conversation, we just had a live conversation, an in-the-moment conversation with CAP Radio's Greg Michek about someone being detained at a federal courthouse by immigration authorities. Do you have an accurate sense of how many people have been detained by ICE?
So Giselle said that they haven't had time to do a full-on quantitative analysis. So there's no accurate numbers. But, you know, just so far this year, she said she can confirm that there have been dozens of arrests by federal immigration agents within the region.
What makes tracking these detainments hard to track?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been difficult for sure. But communication has been lacking more than usual, at least according to Giselle. She said ICE isn't collaborating with them. They have to rely on communication. And that usually comes from family members of the people who are detained, right? They call the hotline, they let them know. And it just kind of gives them an idea of how many people have been detained, but no official numbers. And she thinks that's a tactic to separate detainees from legal services like hers.
And it can look very different from one person to the next, but do you have a sense of where many of these detainees end up? Do they have access to due process?
Unfortunately, they end up around the state, maybe even around the country, depending on if there's a detention center near them is full or anything like that. Many in LA, for example, they end up at the Adelanto Detention Facility in the Inland Empire. It's actually the largest detention facility in the state. I spoke with Javier Hernandez. He's the executive director of the Inland Coalition for Immigrant Justice. They support and advocate for immigrants in Southern California, and they do a lot similar to what NorCal Resist does. They have a rapid response hotline as well. And they haven't been told by ICE or the detention facility how many detainees from Los Angeles are there.
They have yet to even been able to speak to an attorney. They have yet to even be able to speak to their families, right? And so there's this, a message that comes out from the federal government, yet it is something that it is one-sided, right? We have no information on who these folks are.
When you actually reach out to ICE, other federal authorities, what have they told you? Have they responded?
No response as of now. I've reached out a few times, no callback, no anything. And all the data I found actually has just come from groups like NorCal Resist and the Inland Coalition for Immigrant Justice. And as I mentioned before, a lot of that relies on family members calling and reporting it to them. And there is a list that Javier said the coalition had created with, you know, the help from other nonprofits, but he didn't share it with me because it contains a lot of sensitive information.
Finally, I want to end with the rally and the demonstrations that are planned on Saturday as part of a nationwide No Kings Day movement. And that is an opposition or a counter rally to President Trump's military parade that is going to be taking place on Flag Day. We did talk to Mayor McCarty about this at the top of the show. Throughout your reporting, have local law enforcement issued a statement on how they're preparing or might respond? Because it's also happening during Pride weekend as well.
I did reach out to the police department and they did provide a statement. And, you know, they said they're committed to ensuring public safety and safeguarding people's right to peacefully assemble and express their views. They also noted that state law prohibits state and local law enforcement agencies from enforcing federal civil immigration laws. And they directed people to their website if they wanted to learn more about the city's sanctuary ordinance.
Gerardo, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And that is CAP Radio Communities reporter Gerardo Zavala. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio.